Well, welcome to church, everybody. I want to echo David and Blair's words. Welcome. It's great to have you here. It's interesting, isn't it? In the light of our recent natural disasters, in light of the cyclones, in light of floods, in light of earthquakes, numerous earthquakes now, we find ourselves in a position where people ask us the question, why? Why does God let this happen? If you're like me, you're absolutely horrible at answering that question. It is really, really difficult. When people say, you're a Christian, so why does your God, the loving God, let these horrible things happen where people in numbers of thousands die? Well, I guess that's what we're talking about here today. We're talking about Paul when he tells us in the book of Colossians why we need to have an answer, why we need to be able to tell people exactly what we believe and tell them in a way that is lively and interesting. You'll notice that we've skipped ahead. We've skipped to the beginning of chapter four, to verse 2 of chapter 4. That's because during May we're going to go back and revisit the bits that we've missed in chapter 3 for Family Month. So we're going to do a series on that bit of the Bible. How about I pray and just quickly, and then we'll kick off. Father, thank you so much that we can come, we can meet together, and we can learn from you. Father, we pray that you would help me to speak your words and not my own, and that I would speak with a renewed sense of life, Father, that we would leave here learning something and being able to apply it to our lives. Amen. Okay, so you'll find on the inside of your blue sheets there'll be a sermon outline, so if you want to follow along, that would be great. So my first point will be, so a call to pray. So verse 2, Paul, he talks a lot about prayer. Paul was a prayerful man. There's no two ways about it. He begins and ends most of his letters that he writes with some type of prayer. He deems it so very, very important. He knows just how important it is for us to be able to talk to God. And he uses an interesting word. He uses devote. Not only do we just shoot off a quick prayer on the way to work, although, unfortunately, I must say, that's sometimes the only time I get to pray. And we live incredibly busy lives, and it's very hard to devote time every day to prayer. But he says to devote ourselves to it, not just to have it as a background thing, but to be talking to God and devoting ourselves to it. So this is such an important part of our lives as Christians. And if you're anything like me, again, you don't pray enough. Or if you don't pray enough, you pray selfishly. My prayers tend to look like this some days. Lord, I'm on my way to insert event here. Please help me with this, and this. And it just becomes, please help me, please help me, please help me. And it doesn't pray for, I don't pray for other people, I pray inwardly. Paul is saying to devote ourselves with prayer, devote ourselves praying about each other, about the world, and about the people that we're going to see. The one thing that I was struck by when I first... I've been here 2 months now. It's pretty crazy. But the one thing, and one of the first things that I was struck by here at St. Paul's, was just how prayerful you as a church are. That everything was given to God in prayer, and still is. It was such a great example for me to come in and go, wow, that they're such a prayerful people. So be encouraged. If you don't pray enough, be encouraged that that you are a prayerful people, and it's great to be a part of that. So the book of Colossians, as we've heard over the last couple of weeks, it really does hinge on chapter 2 verses 6 and 7. So if you want to just you can just flip back. So because we want to strive to live in Him, we want to live rooted and built up, and we want to live overflowing with thankfulness. We should pray. Because of those things, we should be moved to prayer. Because we're built up and we build people up, because we're overflowing with thankfulness, we should pray. That should be a result of these things. It is such an important part of our lives. Pray, pray, pray. Pray that God would keep us rooted in Christ. Pray that we would be built up and that we would build people up. That is why it would be so fantastic to see everybody at the getaway, because that'll be such an awesome time of building each other up and being built up. So pray, being thankful for it all. And pray that our whole lives here at Terry Hills would be transformed. But more on that a little bit later. So stay awake. Paul continues in the second part of verse 2. He says, be watchful and thankful. So what does that actually mean? It's the question that I've been pondering for the last couple of weeks. What does it mean to actually be watchful and thankful when he says that? I don't think it's referring to certain examples like in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus goes to pray and he says, stay watchful and pray to the disciples. I think it's more talking about we need to be alert, we need to be on the lookout, and we need to not be falling asleep to the risen Christ, not to be falling asleep to the resurrection, not to be falling asleep to how awesome that is. So we need not to fall asleep to Jesus, to the wonderful truth that is Jesus Christ. So we need to be awake. We need to be alert. And as the wonderful Simon Woodhouse has put it, very, very helpfully in a commentary that I read, he says, and I quote, "We have no idea when Jesus will return, so we must be alert and ready for his return. He will come like a thief in the night." So we need to be constantly, constantly looking out and constantly being prayerful. And it says, be thankful. Paul says to be thankful. I think this is such a pivotal part also of our lives as Christians. We need to be thankful through our prayers. I find, as I said earlier, I don't pray thanking God enough for what happened. And I'm sure, like most of you as well, we seem to be so caught up in the stress of life that we just pray for us and just pray for things that are going on, but we don't thank God for all the wonderful things that he's doing and will do. Someone this week that I was talking to, a good friend of mine from school actually, who's now actually an MTS worker as well. That was a weird turn of events. He was saying that he was thinking about the whole how do we pray being thankful, and he came up with something really interesting and something that's really helpful. He said, this week, begin and end your prayers with thanks. So begin your prayers saying thanks to God for something. Pray in the middle for things, for people, and then thank him at the end. So bookend, so to speak, your prayers with thanks. It's a helpful little tool. I don't know. I found it really helpful this week because it helped me focus on actually thanking God for the good things that he's done. So be thankful. Continue to be thankful through your prayers. And pray for gospel advancement. So Paul asks that we pray for the message of Jesus to go out and to touch many, many people. So on Beach Mission, I go to Beach Mission down at Sussex Inlet every year. It's fantastic. It's some of the best 10 days of my year. It is so hard. It is so hard going up to people and who have never been to church, who have no idea what Jesus is on about, and going up to them and just saying, would you like to hear about Jesus? The amount of times you get doors slammed in your face is probably too many. But it's all because we want to see the gospel go out and to save thousands and thousands of people. It's really hard. You get discouraged. I don't know if you guys door knocked back in January for the week of mission that you did. And I'm betting that was really, really hard. Going up to people in their environment, not in ours, not here at church, but going to them at their homes and knocking on their door and saying, would you like to hear about Jesus? It's a difficult thing. The more difficult thing is, what do you actually say when you knock on their door and they open it and you say, I want to talk to you about Jesus? What do you actually say? Just one thing. Don't let the message, the gospel, be warped to, I guess, whoever's standing up here, or read your Bibles so that you understand. We should be reading our Bibles constantly so that we can develop an answer, a good answer, a strong answer, to when people ask why. So don't let that message be warped to the message of Andrew or David or John or whoever's up here. But read the Bible for yourself, and make sure that what we say lines up with what the gospel is talking about. And pray that we would speak it clearly. So Paul says in the passage, he says, pray for us too. I don't think that's so much talking about us as a collective here at St. Paul's in 2011. I think that's more, I've interpreted it as him talking about him and his group that were going around. So pray for them as they go out and proclaim the message of Jesus. But he says to do so clearly. There was an interesting thing that happened when I was in year 12. We had an ICF group. Many of you would probably know what that is. So it's just a Christian group that runs at lunchtime at school. And I was in year 12, and one of my best friends, Scott, he for many years, I'd ask him, look, you know, I'm going to ICF. You know that I'm going. Come along with me. It'd be great to have you there. And he would sort of sit there and go, nah, not really. I've got better things to be doing with my lunchtime. Anyway, one day in year 12, he decided to come along. I don't know what changed his mind, but he decided to come along. It was great. I was over the moon. It was awesome. We got there, and our leader, our ICF leader, who had just finished 4 years at a fantastic theological college, decided to sit down with Scott and to basically unload 4 years of theological training onto him, just to download it straight into his brain. And that was really interesting, because I looked over and I sort of thought, oh wow, that's great. He's interested, and they're talking, and you know, it seems like there's a good back and forth. We left ICF about 20 minutes later, and Scott turned to me and said, "What did he just say? What is sanctification? What's justification? What's righteousness? I have no idea what these words are. What did he actually talk about? Because I thought you guys just believed in a guy called Jesus." And to an extent, that's true. It is really true. We believe in a guy called Jesus. But for him, for Scott, that was way too over his head. He couldn't get his head around that download of information. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's not good to have knowledge. Read your Bibles and have the head knowledge. But we need to speak to people on their level. We need to speak to them where they're at. If they don't know anything about Jesus, we need to come to them from that level. If they already have a fairly good knowledge, we need to come to them at that level. We need to gauge where they're at. So I think that's what Paul's talking about when he says, preach it clearly. Talk to people in a clear, concise way that's not just downloading 4 years of theological degree into their brains. Okay, so pray for gospel advancement. So all of these things, Paul is saying, pray. Be wary, or the saltiest conversations ever. So as I said earlier, we need to pray for opportunities. But when those opportunities come, we need to pray that we actually jump on them, that we actually use them. We sit here and we pray that God would open doors for us. Paul says, pray that God would open the door to let the message go out. It's all well and good to go up to a person, but if the door isn't open, they won't want to hear. So pray for opportunities, but when they come, we need to pray that we'll jump on them. Instead of letting them go by the wayside, pray that God would give us the courage to speak to people. In short, we need to make sure that we're ready when people ask us why do people die when they went to work, as was the case in Christchurch that Tuesday. They went to work and then they didn't come home. It's a common question, and that sort of question will come. I guess the idea is that although we need the knowledge, but we also need to be alert. We need to gauge what people are actually asking us. Usually, people that I've spoken to will mask what they're really wanting to know with another question. And pray for wisdom. So pray when you're at someone's door or on the street or with a friend that's a non-Christian, pray that they would be open to hear what you've got to say to them. Be wise. So let the conversations we have be wise and gracious. So the difference between being wise and being gracious, being wise in our behaviour, so the way that we behave, and gracious in our speech. So we need to be wise so that outsiders would see us behaving in a way that glorifies God to each other and to people that we meet on the street, to non-Christian friends. The word outsiders, just as a little side, the word outsiders is just a word for non-Christians, for people that don't have a faith. It's just a word that Paul uses to replace that. So be wise in the way that we act towards outsiders. So in our behaviour, in the way that we behave to one another, and gracious in our speech. So I was thinking about this, and after a long sort of think and letting it mull over in my mind, I thought our speech should be full of God's grace. So to one another and to them, our speech should be full of His grace. That we may be able to talk to one another, glorifying God. And then when our non-Christian friends see that, they would go, wow, they are on about Jesus. So that we can be a light in this very dark world. Let our conversations, be wise in our behaviour and be gracious in our speech. But let our conversations be lively. I think some of the biggest mistakes when we talk to people about God is we let ourselves drone. We let ourselves just sort of becomes this constant monotone droning. This one lecturer I had when I was at uni for 08 and 09, I remember he knew it all up here. He knew his subject so well through and through, back to front. But when he got up and spoke, you just wanted to fall asleep. He wasn't interesting to listen to. And that's the thing we need to be looking out for here. We want people to see that the Christian life and life in the resurrection is not boring, but it's fantastic. We want our conversations to be lively. So when Paul talks about our conversations being salty, there are a lot of different interpretations as to what that actually means. And every commentary I looked at had a different answer, so that wasn't fantastically helpful. But the one that I landed on and the one that I've interpreted to be the most apt would be, let our conversations be lively and interesting. Let them be interesting for people to listen to. Don't let them be bored through just constant droning. But we want people connecting with Jesus and being enthusiastic about that, not sort of falling asleep. So pray that our conversations would be interesting. Pray that when you talk to people, your conversations would be lively, that they would find it interesting. So pray. We want to be a people of prayer and continue to be a people of prayer. We want to be praying for everything. We want to be praying for conversations, that the door would be opened so that we can actually talk to people. But then once that door is opened, that we actually take hold of that opportunity and talk to people. Pray for courage, and pray that when we actually do open our mouths and start talking about Jesus, that it would be glorifying God and interesting. So the best thing the best bit of application that I can find, that I can think of, is sharpen your answers with one another. I find it very helpful to talk to my parents, who are strong Christians, about how they answer when people ask them, why do these horrible things happen, or what's the deal with Jesus? Sharpen your answers with one another. Bounce ideas off one another. The best thing about it is that you're gaining their ideas, and they're gaining your ideas. It's a constant back and forth, which is awesome, because that is what it means to be gracious in your speech. So pray that pray for each other. Pray that as we go out into the world, into the workforce, at uni, wherever it might be, that when we speak to each other, we would be building each other up and helping each other to defend our faith. If I can leave you with one last thing, pray that our message, or the message of Jesus, would save many people here in Terry Hills. Pray that as a church, we would find fantastic ways to reach people that normally wouldn't hear the message of Jesus. So continue to be prayerful people, and continue to sharpen those answers with one another. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that you give us the opportunity to talk to the people that we know, that we love, that are friends, about the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that we would continue to sharpen our answers with one another, so that we can know what we're going to say better, and have it more concise. Father, I pray that that we would continue to be a people of prayer here at Terry Hills, and that we would continue to pray for those people around us in the community. Amen.